Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and love you this morning. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness and all of your mercies towards us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are preparing us. You are preparing us for the coming of the Lord, and we ourselves are preparing. For the scripture has said that the bride makes herself ready. And as we enter into your word again this morning, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. Now, Lord, let that light shine in our hearts today. Revelation knowledge, honey out of the rock, the purest and the finest of the wheat, and the hidden manna that you have prepared for us. In the name of Jesus. Teach us, Lord, as the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Teach us, O Lord, to open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And anoint our eyes with eyes of this morning, that we may see wondrous things out of the Word of God to make us even much more ready. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The preparation series. We continue this morning. And here, the book of Revelation, the message to the church is part two. So a quick background. We've talked last week about we started going to the message to the churches. And one thing that I wanted us to focus on in this teaching is, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. Amen. Not just that the people in Ephesus should hear only the message to Ephesus. Not just that the people, you know, in Smyrna or Thyatira, you know, and so forth like that, or Sardis or Philadelphia or Pergamos or even Laodicea should only hear the message to their church. But he said, plural. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So we're looking at these messages, you know, as a composite message to the church rather than looking at church ages and so forth. So we don't get distracted with that. We're focusing on what he's speaking to the churches to try to get us ready for his coming. And last week we went through as far, I believe, Pergamos, and we covered, I think we also, we started and covered through as far as Thyatira even, and let me pick it up here, can everybody hear me well in the back? Can you all hear me? Alright, so we're going to pick it up here. I want to read first, I promise, and at the end of this message to the churches, I'm going to come back and do a review of the rewards and the things that he has promised. But as we go through here, let's just go through quickly. Here's something he said to the church in Thyatira. We covered, you know, their works and their review last time. Always there's a review. I know thy works. It's all how he always starts after he introduces himself. And he goes through a review of their works. And sometimes they'll get a commendation, sometimes a rebuke, and sometimes both. But always an admonition for them to do something, and a promise at the end. If they did something and kept his works, like he says here, he that overcometh, chapter 2 and verse 26, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Amen. So it's not exactly he that starts the race, but he that keepeth my works unto the end. Now you know how, even though the church in Ephesus was doing great things and they were a discerning church, they had the gifts of the Spirit, they could discern and they could find out fake apostles and all that. They had left their first law, you know, so they didn't keep that until the end. And Jesus rebuked them, of course, and admonished them to get back to the place where they first believed. And remember, he said, from whence thou art fallen. You know, so as we go through, let's key in on the important messages that he's given to each of these churches. A wonderful promise here for those that keep his works till the end. I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as the vessels of a potter shall he be broken to shivers, as I have received of my Father. Can they put the scripture up in the back? Helps me as I move along here. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 27. I will also give him the morning star. And this is the promises of the, these are some of the promises that he gives to those who are keeping his works until the end. Hallelujah, everybody. Are you going to keep his works until the end?
Yes.
Will you keep his works until the end?
Yes.
So help me God. Amen. And unto the, I'm going to chapter 3 right now. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Now, you know, this is a very sad church that we're getting into now right here. It's a dead church. But let's see. You know, they all have various attributes. This particular one is a dead church. We covered the suffering church, you know, and all that before. And this is a dead church right here. Unto the angel in the church in Sardis, right? This thing saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but art dead. You know, it's kind of like, they thought they got something going, but Jesus said, you are dead. You know, so, I mean, that reminds me of, you know, even today, you know, where we are at the end time. And there are many people, you know, that have believed the end time message and are carrying on, you know, but hiding behind the so-called end time message, hiding behind a name like, you know, we are the end time, we are the bride, we are the elect, and so forth. They have a name like that, but Jesus said, you're dead. Why? Because he has not found their works perfect. Now, let's see exactly what he's talking about here. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. A lot of things are already dead. You know, just carrying on. They're already dead. You know, but just a few things remain. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the power has gone. It's like Ichabod. The glory has departed. It reminds me also of Samson. The power had already gone. And he didn't know it. And he moved himself as it was like an old time to try to do the same things. Only to find out the power has already gone. You know, so the power has gone. The name may be there, but the power was gone. Because they didn't stay with the word of God. You know, so now, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Oh my. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, see, and hold fast. Now, some people have let slip the things that they have received. They have let slip the things that they used to believe, that they heard. You know, remember how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. And Jesus is always calling for that repentance. That I repent and get back and believe the same things again. You know, the faith that was once delivered. You know, and so forth. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. As like a thief in the night. You won't know when he comes. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now we don't want that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he has a few of them that he has some good things to say about them. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, despite the fact that the church, and you know, is dead in generality. It's always a remnant. He has a few names there that have not defiled their garments. Now, defile their garments leads us to believe that they were giving clean garments to begin with. The garments themselves were not defiled to begin with. They were clean. But a lot of the others defiled those garments that were clean through compromise, through mingling, you know. Bible says they mingled, you know, with the seed of man. They mingled, you know, with, you know, unbelievers. They mingled with, you know, all kinds of things, and people that didn't really believe. It's like the multitudes that came out of Egypt. I mean, there were some true people there that wanted to go into the promised land, but the majority of them, you know, their hearts were back in Egypt and so forth. So they mingled themselves and they defiled the garments that they were given. But Jesus said there are a few names there, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For they are worthy. Now, if the Lord says you are worthy, don't say you are not worthy, because he made you worthy through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. God made them worthy and gave them clean garments, and they kept those garments clean. Now, have you washed your garments in the blood of the Lamb? Are they washed? And are they clean? Now, Jesus handed those clean garments to us. Now, are you keeping them clean? Or are you going to let them be defiled by being tangled? Don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage again. And don't be entangled with the things of this life. A good soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Can you say amen? And so don't get entangled in the things that are going to draw you back. Now, he said, these ones that are worthy, they shall walk with me in white. Now, here's a promise for everybody. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. Now, the message to these people was the cleanliness of their garment, because they had started out with cleanness, you know, and then they started mingling, compromising their faith, saying it doesn't matter and so forth, you know, big like everybody else and so on. The next thing you know, the garments are dead. The Bible says you shall not sow, you know, mixed seed. You can't put this one there and put that one there and put this one there. It's not going to work. You know, Jesus said you must put new wine into new bottles. Amen. Amen, folks. If you put old wine and you put new wine in the old bottles, the bottles will break and be destroyed, and the wine will spill, and they both be destroyed, you know, and so forth, you know. So don't mingle. Jesus doesn't want that mingling, you know. Stay pure. Hallelujah. Do not mingle with the ways of the world, you know, and come out of them, my people, and be ye separate, and I will be, you know, a father unto you and a God unto you, and shall by me my children. Amen. Now, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with me in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Isn't that wonderful? But I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Now, this verse leads us to believe that some people will have their names blotted out. Because there's no point in saying, I will not blot them out, if he will not blot out anybody anyway. You know, what's the point? It will be redundant. You know, so, but by him telling us here that those people who keep their garments clean and stay with him till the end, he will not blot out their names. That tells us that some people might have their names blotted out from the book of life. Now, we don't want any of that. You know, so you must hold on till the end. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. Don't just say, well, I got saved in 19 such and such, and I got baptized in the Spirit in 19 such and such. Well, that was good then, but what about now? Hallelujah. Because faith is now. Praise God. And we must continue the race until the very end. Now, I pray that the Lord will keep every one of us, and our names shall not be blotted out of the book of life. Amen. 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 That's a good prayer, but only half of the people said amen to that. I pray that your name may not be blotted out of the book of life. Amen. Because if that name gets blotted out of the book of life, that hope is lost forever. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. The way to make sure that's not your portion is to keep his works until the end. And do not mingle with all the things that are out there. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. But what does he mean by he confessing your name? Are you telling me that the Father doesn't already know your name? But Jesus is saying, confessing means that he will actually brag about your name. That's right. Just like he bragged about the name of Job. Have you seen my servant Job? That there is none like him. You know, one that holds the truth and eschews evil and so on. And he won't have any part of that nonsense that's going on. You know, Jesus will actually broadcast your name in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Do the angels know your name? I know the Lord knows your name. But do the angels know your name? And I said, secret about angels, you know. And the Lord showed me this a while back. The secret about angels. Some people, you know, that the angels are supposed to do stuff for them. They're just bored. They're not doing anything, you know. But then there are some people that the angels are just moving. They're always in action and so forth, you know. Do they really know your name, you know? Now, when you are walking in the light, you attract those angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, this thing saith he that is holy. And this is another good church. I mean, he didn't have too much of any, he didn't even have any evil thing to say about them. Just some encouragement and stuff like that, you know. The church in Philadelphia, this thing saith he that is holy, that had the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Hallelujah. And, you know, the psalmist, he prophesied about that, Psalm 22, I believe verse 22 in there. You know, he had the key of David. He opens and no man can shut. And he shuts and no man can open. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know thy works. Now, he always knows their works, whether good or evil. He knows them all. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. You had a little strength. But the little strength you had, you used it to keep my word. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Amen. Behold, I will make them who are of the synagogue of Satan. Well, see, there was always the synagogue of Satan. There's always the satanic altars that are trying to infiltrate the church. I will make them who are of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, at some point in time, there's going to be a showdown. That's what this is saying. God is going to reveal who the true elect are. Hallelujah. And he's going to magnify his word in the real elect and the real believer. And he's going to cause the others to acknowledge and come and worship. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. See, just look at that. What is the word of his patience? Well, the word is always tried. When God gives you a word of promise, it will be tried. That word is always tried. It's not exactly you that is tried. The word of God to you is what's tried. Whether you are going to, just like God gave a promise to Abraham, and that promise was tried, just to see whether he will be standing and believing. For many years it took him, but he kept believing. Hallelujah. Now, the word is tried. Will you keep his word of patience? In the book of James, we are told that, you know, be patient therefore, my brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Just like the husbandman, the farmer, that he has good patience, waiting for the latter and the former rain and so forth. And he has long patience and waiting for it. Now, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. This sounds like he's going to remove some people. Amen, somebody. It sounds to me like some people will not go through that hour of temptation. Say, I will keep you from it. You know, some people don't believe in that stuff. You know, but, you know, the second coming of the Lord is going to be to them that look for him. Amen. If you're not looking for him, you're most likely going to miss it. You know, better be looking for the Lord. Amen. Now, behold, I come quickly. Now, I come quickly. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, people have read this before, and it made people think that, oh, you know, he said I'll come quickly, and that was 2,000 years ago. Well, he's not here, so since the fathers fell asleep, and so on, you know, where is the promise of his coming? And then they just go about their business. No. Well, you know, that's one way of looking at it. But the way that I look at it is, I come suddenly. You know, so it's like suddenly. You know, it's not exactly, you know, you don't know when it is, but when it happens, it'll be so sudden that people will be caught unawares. It could happen like, you know, we saw the clip, the video clip from, you know, a couple years or so ago. It could be like we're in the church, like we're praising the Lord and so forth. Boom! The rapture could take place. How many people will go and how many people will remain? You know, it could be wherever you are. Behold, I come suddenly. Suddenly. You know, quickly. Every time you hear that quickly, think of it as suddenly. Behold, I come suddenly. Hold fast that which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. Amen. Don't let anybody take your crown, folks. You know, how can people lose their crown? Well, through compromise. You know, compromise a little here, a little there. Remember, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So don't let anybody take your crown. Now look at this wonderful promise. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that he is revealing here. I don't have time to go into all of it today, but there's something so wonderful that's going to happen here. You know, if you overcome, the many special promises that he gave, a pillar in the temple. Will God actually have a temple in the hereafter? Well, you can answer it any way we want. You know, but, you know, he said, I'll make you a pillar in that temple. You won't need to be going in and out and so forth like that. You know, God will also put upon you a special name, a special honor. Now, remember, we're going to be going into something deeper when we get deeper into the book of Revelation, but the Antichrist is going to mark his own too, you know, so, and it's happening already. Like they're getting ready for all those, you know, setting up the technology of how they are going to mark the people and so forth. So we got to warn the people, you know, warn the people, stay away from that and so on. They're setting up with the chip, they're setting up with all of these things and so forth, you know, so it is happening. Prophecy is fulfilling. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Jerusalem has always been key to the Lord, you know, but there's also a new Jerusalem. Now, the old Jerusalem that's here around us and so forth, the book of Zechariah, it said, Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord, and so forth like that. You know, I remember, just a little digression, many, many years ago, you know, back in Nigeria, even before I left Nigeria for here, you know, I remember preaching on Jerusalem will one day become the capital of Israel. Because there's just no way that you can look at the scriptures and see that it's going to be anything else. Well, we're setting up for that right now. Well, we don't know where it's all going to lead, but we're setting up for that, you know. And God is going to make it to where Jerusalem becomes the cup of trembling. All the nations and so forth. You know, so we're setting up for that. So be watching the news, you know. Now that the United States is, you know, liking that and say, we're going to move our embassy to from Tel Aviv to that place and so forth. Well, you know, we're going to anger some of the people over there and all that, you know, but anger or not, the word of God must be fulfilled. Amen. The Jews, Israel, is like the time clock that we are watching. And Jerusalem is like the minute hand. So you better be watching, you know, see what happens on there. God will make that place a cup of trembling for all nations that gather around it, you know. But for us, the Bible says, blessed are those that pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Praise the Lord. God will bless us, you know, but we belong to a new Jerusalem, folks. Let me tell you that right now. You know, that some people like to take pilgrimage to old Jerusalem. Well, God bless your heart and so forth. But that's the old Jerusalem. This is the one right here that we belong to. The new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That's the one that we belong to. That's the mother of us all. You say Jerusalem is the mother of all. Well, it's not that old Jerusalem and all that. That one is corrupt. It's full of all kinds of things right now. But there's a new Jerusalem that's coming down. We're going to get to that in the book of Revelation when we get deeper in there. You see that New Jerusalem, the city, is called the bride. Everything that makes it in there is actually called the bride. You know, so, you know, it can come out. You know, that's the one that we belong to. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let's go to the church of the Laodiceans. You'll notice that in every one of these places, and I was looking at it, I said, well, yeah, I don't know if there's any significance to it, but in every one of these churches, it said the church of Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the church in Thyatira, the church in Pergamos, the church in Sardis, the church in Philadelphia. But when it gets here, instead of saying the church in or the church of, he says the church of the, you know, Laodiceans. They didn't really say that for the other folks, just mentioned their city. But it seems like there's a spirit to that thing. You know, the Laodicean. It's just saying, you know, instead of just saying the church in Laodicea, he says the church, you know, I mean, look at how he says it. Angel of the church of the Laodiceans. You know, so some people say Laodiceans. However you call it. Look at how he introduced himself. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Some people have never understood that. What do you mean the beginning of God? Well, because the word was spoken before anything was created. Amen. The word was the beginning of everything that was created. God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. And that word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's a beginning. You know, that one went first. I came out and proceeded from God, Jesus said. And if you don't believe that I'm he, you shall die in your sins. You know, so, you know, that's it right there. He introduced himself like that. But he had a strong message for these folks. So I'm just hurrying to get to it in these next few minutes. There's a strong message here for them. And I'm he that had the key of David, he told the other church. But here, he introduced himself as, you know, the Amen and the true and faithful witness. The beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now let's pay attention, folks. He said, you are neither cold nor hot. I mean, that's exactly the way the state of the church today. I mean, everybody is so religious. They're not exactly cold. Very religious and so forth. But they're not exactly on fire for the Lord either. They're kind of in between. And Jesus said, well, I would that you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are neither cold nor hot, you make me sick. I'm going to throw you out of my mouth. It's like you make him sick. He vomits the thing out of him. That's how horrible it is. It makes him sick. That people are neither cold nor hot. Throw it out of their mouth. What is throw out of? That's vomiting. Makes him sick. Sick to the stomach. He can't even swallow it. Hello, folks. That's the condition of the churches today. Not cold, not hot. Well, let's go further and see how he describes this whole picture. He said, because thou sayest, now look at all the things they say. I am rich and increased with goods. I'm reading verse 17. And I have need of nothing. This is the way that church describes itself. This is their perception of their own selves, of themselves. You know, they say, well, I'm rich. You know, so it looks like they're focused on some kind of riches, but not God's true riches. I'm increased with goods. They're focused on, you know, big buildings, whatever it is that's going on and so forth. They increase and so forth. I'm increased and all that. You know, I have need of nothing. But he said, thou knowest, I mean, just look at the description here. This is a horrible description, folks. I mean, I've never seen any place that Jesus used, I mean, so much lambasting here. And thou knowest not that thou art wretched. Can you imagine? Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Look at all the things that Jesus slammed on them. Whereas they thought, we are rich, we're good. We have need of nothing. We got everything. We're exactly where we want it. And Jesus said, you are wretched. Wretched. Can you even imagine calling somebody wretched? Can you imagine calling somebody miserable and poor and blind and naked? They had the glory of God, completely naked, but they thought they are clothed. And here's the stern warning that Jesus gave. I counsel thee. And the love of God is so wonderful. Despite this condition that this church was in, the love of God was still reaching out to them. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Same thing today. I counsel of thee to buy of me real gold tried in the fire. And we read this last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Gold that is tried in the fire. When their works were tried with fire, some were gold, some were silver, some were precious stones. And Jesus said, buy of me gold that is tried in the fire. What does that mean? Enduring faith. Their works would endure. We saw in 1 Corinthians 3 some of those whose works would not endure because they would be burned. Why? Because they were stubble and wood. And they would be burned. There was no endurance in them. But gold, talking about the endurance. You put gold through the fire, it endures and it comes out. It shines even more. Burns out all the dross and everything. And it comes out even better. Buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be truly rich. And white raiment, always talking about that. The righteousness of the saints. In one place he said, who are these that are arrayed with white raiment? What is this white raiment that they have on? Said, there's the righteousness of the saints. Take off me that white raiment so that you may be clothed. And that the shame of your nakedness will not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye drops. Jesus has these special eye drops. He's called eyes all here. When people think they see, Jesus told the Pharisees, even in his time. He said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say you see, whereas you are truly blind. If you had acknowledged that you were blind, then your sin would have been limited because you were blind. You couldn't see. But because you parade yourself as being able to see or seeing, whereas truly you are blind, say therefore your sin remaineth. The same thing he said to Smyrna there. Because you said you are alive, but you are really dead, and I've not found your works perfect. Anoint your eyes with eyes of that you may truly see. Hallelujah, somebody. And finally he says to them, as many as I love. This is wonderful. You think that this church in that condition will be a castaway, being wretched, being miserable, being poor, being naked, being blind. You thought it would be a castaway, but Jesus said, no. As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. To give them a second chance. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, if you repent, then it is well. But if not, then of course, there's going to be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, this is a verse in Revelation 3:20 that people use sometimes to preach to unbelievers. This is not a message for unbelievers at all. Jesus is not standing outside the heart of unbelievers. People use this scripture. No. He's talking to that church. Jesus is outside his own very church. Hello, folks. This message is to the churches, not to unbelievers, but to the churches, especially this one here in Laodicea. Jesus says, I am standing at the door. They didn't have any time for the Lord because they're so busy with all their programs and everything else, and they think they got it all made. and so forth. And they didn't even realize their wretchedness. And Jesus said, well, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, not the whole group, no, the whole group will never believe. It's individual. Amen. You know, some people hide under group. Well, group is good, but he will call individuals. You know, hallelujah. So he speaks the message to the group, but it always goes right down to the individual. If any man or woman, man here is a generic, you know, genderless. If any man here hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he will sup with me. Amen. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? I mean, how would you like you hear a knock on your door and you go to the door and you look around, there's nobody. You know, sometimes you look around, there's nobody, it's because it's the mailman, he just dropped something and went. How many of you ever experienced that? You hear it ring at your door, you go outside, you don't see anybody, but then you look around, you see a parcel that the mailman left. Well, in this case, somebody is at your door knocking, and you go out, you look around, you don't see anybody, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're wondering who's there, and then he opens your eyes. Hallelujah. He opens your eyes and you see, and it's the Lord. I bet you fall over, you know, and just faint, you know. But if you would let him in, hallelujah, he will come in, you know, set foot, you know, he will eat with you. You know, it's just so wonderful. I mean, Jesus, he identifies with us. He brings himself down to our level all the time. It's the people that won't let him in. You know, in our hearts, do we really let him in? You know, do you let him into your house? And if you do let him into your house, do you keep him out of certain rooms? Well, I've got many rooms in my house. You know, if I were to let Jesus in, would I say to Jesus, well, Jesus, well, you're welcome. This is a great opportunity for you to be here. I'm so glad you came. Well, you know, let me show you around the house. You know, but as we get to some time, they say, well, this one room over here, Jesus, you can't go into that one. But, you know, you can sit over here and you can do all of these things and so forth. But you can't go into those ones. And that's how, like most of us. We say we let the Lord in, but we shut him out of most parts of our lives. Well, Jesus needs the master key. Amen. Amen, amen somebody.
Amen.
Give him the master key. Let him in completely to every part of your life and every door. Amen. Now, Jesus is not going to kick the door down, knock the door down. You're going to have to open the door for him, or you're going to have to hand him the key. And then he will come in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now, we see that we have a great opportunity at our hands to let the Lord in and let him change our lives and get us ready for his coming. Amen. Now, to him that overcometh. And look at, this is perhaps one of the greatest promises that he gave to any of those churches. And this is perhaps one of the worst churches. But you see that his promises are so real. And if you can believe the Lord and hold on to him till the end and give your life to him completely and let him be king over your life, not only will he come in and sup with you, here's a wonderful promise that he gave. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Well, that's what it's all about, folks. Sitting with Jesus on his throne. Now, we're not going to be away from him in outer darkness with gnashing of teeth. No, we're going to sit with him in his throne. Amen.
Amen.
If you overcome, Jesus said, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand to our feet here. And we're going to pray. I want us to do a quick review in our hearts of the things that we have heard. The message to the churches. Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord is saying, the Spirit of God is saying to the churches." Amen. The first message to the churches was, go back to where you first believed. You have blessed your first love. There were other messages that he gave to various ones throughout the messages to the churches. Some of them he rebuked them for compromising, allowing the spirit of Jezebel getting there and do some things and so forth. You know, others, you know, he was allowing the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, you know, which thing God hated. You know, others, it was like, you know, they didn't have, their works were just not perfect at all, you know, and so on and so forth. Some of them he gave commendation because though they had a little strength, they were keeping it real and holding on. And finally, we see here at the end, he's talking about an open door to them at Philadelphia. An open door. Now, one of these days, the Lord's going to open that door and say, come up here. Amen. And I don't want to be found wanting, would you? You know, you want to be there when the Lord asks us to come up here. Let's lift up our hands and I'm going to pray over everybody that's here. Lift up your hands and let's pray. Believe the Lord together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the message to the churches. He that hath an ear indeed, let him hear what the message is to the churches. And what the Spirit is saying at this time. Be ye also ready. For in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Say, have your loins gird about, and your lamps burning, and watching for the coming of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, because the grace of God that brings this salvation has appeared unto all. And has taught us that we must deny ungodliness. And we must separate ourselves from compromise. We must not touch the unclean thing. We must make ourselves pure and ready, looking for and hastening unto the coming of our Lord, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you help each and every one of us to be ready. Help us to be ready, Lord. And all these wonderful promises that you have given us for the overcomer, we pray, O Lord Jesus, that you help us to reach for these promises, to reach for the goal of the overcomer. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you said it's not him that starts the race that is crowned, but he that finishes. And when we finish, we must finish according to the rules. Help us, O Lord, to run according to the rules, keeping our eyes on the prize and our eyes on the finish line. And soon and very soon, we know the Lord is going to come for us. Thank you for the grace of God. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for second chances. You know, hear that. Overcoming, but I give all these wonderful promises. Amen and amen and amen.